This is Cincinnati Edition. On 91.7 WVXU, I'm Michael Monks. The first speaker in this year's Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden Barrows Conservation Lecture Series is the manager of the Elephant Ecology Project at Gorongosa National Park in Mozambique. Cincinnati Zoo Director Thane Maynard recently spoke with her about the park and her work studying elephants.
Dominique Gonsalves, thank you for joining us.
It is my pleasure to join you today, Thane.
Now, I know you are involved with what sounds like the most remarkable program, which is kind of the rebirth of Gorongosa National Park in Mozambique.
Yes, it is actually one of the most remarkable things I'm sure I will do in my life. It is a great experience, and I am, yes, involved in Gorongosa National Park in Mozambique.
So tell us about the progress that you have made and you went where you went from and where you're headed to.
You mean about myself or Gorongosa in general? Sorry.
I think Gorongosa, because my understanding is it was poached out 15 years ago and there were hardly any large mammals at all.
Sure, that's very true. That is true. So Gorongosa National Park was established as a park in 1960s. It was once one of the most densest, one of the places in Africa with the biggest and densest wildlife population. It will be known as the Serengeti on those times as it is Serengeti today. And yeah, because of its unique features, it had dense populations of elephants, lions, water birds, and buffaloes, and many, many things. But then first in Mozambique, we had the independence war,
mm-hmm.
where we get our independence in 1975. And then after that, we had a big civil war who lasted for 16 years. During this war, Mozambique lost more than 1 million people and also a lot of natural resources and wildlife. Gorongosa was one of the epicenters of the whole conflict, and the park was used as refuge for armies, for people, and also during those times it was decimated, either to feed these people and armies, or, for example, in the case of elephants, they were just killed for their ivory that was then traded for weapons. So when we had the peace in 1992, the park was just broken. Habitat, some were still there, but there was many other things threatening the park itself. There were logging, there were mining, and more encroachment of people. The people around the park was the poorest possible, you can imagine. So no wildlife, no antelope or nothing would be safe breeding properly or anything in that area. But then in 2008, the CAR Foundation got involved and signed an agreement with Mozambique for a private-public partnership, starting the Gorongosa Project, which is basically to protect and restore the ecosystem of the park and through science, conservation, ecotourism development, and mostly community engagement and assistance. So since then, yes, Gorongosa is coming back, is thriving again, and by census counted more than 100,000 animals. So that's one of it's a really good indicator of the success. And not only that, but also the work we do with our people, our community around the park, which, we give them, these people get benefits from the park, either in education, healthcare, employment, which in turn also they support the park, and we do altogether.
Well, that's the heartening part, because very often some people frame the discussion as it's nature versus people, or it's animals versus people. And it sounds like in Mozambique and in Gorongosa, you've turned that around where the people that live in that region benefit from your work.
Yes. And it's one of the biggest things we want to do and we keep doing, because the nature versus people or animal versus people, that was the colonial times idea of protected area in national park, where people, even the community, the Mozambicans, neighbors of the park, were not welcome to the park. So that kind of fortress conservation aspect, we don't do that anymore. Since the peace and since the agreement with the Kai Foundation, it was decided that Ngorongoro is a park for the people. And, you know, this work should be able to lift people out of the poverty, that the community to get ownership, stewardship of their own park. And so we do this. One of the things we make sure we do almost every day in Ngorongoro is bringing people from the community. So per year, we bring more than a million people for free, from kids to mothers and aunties and grandfathers, traditional leaders, teachers, all the buffer zone of the park. And they come and visit the park for free. They visit the lab. They see animals and they enjoy Ngorongoro. So we are trying to change the mind of these people to saying that the park is yours too. So it's our duty and responsibility of everyone to also make sure that it thrives. And for us, it's basic like that, because we see conservation and human development as two sides of the same coin. And, you know, in Ngorongoro, we have this great landscape where we have more than 200 people living in, and we recognize that it's full of people and animals, and we need to find a way to create positive relationship for both of them. And that's our main goal.
So here's a question. You had mentioned that poaching had been a problem historically of elephants and other big game. How have you kept the animals safe once you're growing the population in the park?
So there's two things. Because this community and us are receiving benefits, and they in turn are supporting us. We kind of have this social thing. We kind of have our people also looking for the natural resources, looking for the animals. But we also, one of the way we so much is because we have rangers. We have wildlife rangers. It's 90%. It's everyone from, I mean, people from the 98% Mozambicans and 45% around the park. So we have a big, not extremely big, depending on our protected area, but we have a great ranger, ranger people. And not only men, but now we just had in women too. We have women rangers for the first time in Ngorongoro history. And they are doing great, great, great work, not only to protect wildlife, but also protect the landscape and the vegetation. So our rangers deal with everything from bushmeat poaching, really high level poaching and logging and everything.
That is great. So, Dominique, some scientists say that parks should be fenced so that people can't get in and animals can't get in and out. That's hard to do biologically, but is there a fence around Ngorongoro?
No, Ngorongoro has no fences at all.
Good.
It's completely open, and that's our. We have this buffer zone around us with our communities. That's why we also focus a lot on them, because they become our fences, right? So there's no physical fence at all.
So here's an important question. Is there any tourism to Ngorongoro? So could listeners come to visit?
Oh, yes, our tourism industry in Ngorongoro is growing a lot. We have now Royal Ngorongoro, and we have Ngorongoro collection, and then we just getting a new partner coming in that from the Royal portfolio. But yes, Ngorongoro is increasing. It is growing in tourism, not only to the park itself, but also to the mountain that is part of the park. So if you come visit Ngorongoro, you don't just enjoy the end of the southern Great Rift Valley in Mozambique with our floodplains and different habitats. From 10 and 10 minutes you drive in the park, you see different habitats changing like crazy, and a lot of animals and big densities. But you could also enjoy the Mount Ngorongoro, which is one of the only mountains in Mozambique where we have a rainforest. And in fact, not only that, we also have our coffee growing in the shade of the mount, on the native trees on the Mount Ngorongoro. So you'd also, you know, have a nice tour and the coffee, of course, and the waterfall and so on. So you'd be able to see from the mountain to the floodplains of Gorongosa if you visit.
Good. Well, when you're here this spring, we'll promote that and get hopefully some people who would want to come. And I certainly would be among them, so that would be great. Dominique, thank you for spending a few minutes with us.
My pleasure. I look forward to meet you personally.
Me too. Thanks very much. My guest has been Dominique Gonsalves from Gorongosa National Park.
And Dominique Gonsalves will be at the zoo tomorrow evening, March 20th, to share the story of how the park is becoming a new model for conservation in Africa. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our program can be found online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.